You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Rugby Union Podcast.
Welcome along to William Hill's Rugby Union Podcast. It's week two of the RBS Six Nations this weekend. My name's Michael Casey, and as ever, I'm joined on the line to preview all the weekend's action by former England prop forward Jeff Probyn. Jeff, I mean, it was an interesting round of results on the opening weekend. Wins for France and England, and a hard-fought draw for the Irish. What do you think we learnt from week one of the tournament?
Well, Michael, we both got the score predictions wrong. Let's be honest about that. But,
yeah.
But we did get the try scorers. We did get
Remy Vakatawa. I won't let you try and pronounce it again.
Yeah, I'll try and pronounce it again. Vakatawa. We got him, and you know, that's not a bad. That wasn't a bad guess, was it? Really?
No.
No. I mean, I think in all honesty, you look at it, and the standard of the games were pretty poor. If we're honest, there was a lot of mistakes made by all the sides playing, and you know, we're not just talking about A side here, England or Ireland or Scotland already, that we're saying all sides didn't actually play what would be called precise rugby. And, you know, all coaches will be looking for their sides to improve on what they did last week. So it makes this week even more important, and particularly the way the games are breaking up. I mean, England going to Rome on Sunday, that's going to be a very hard game because the Italians could have won. They could have beaten the French quite easily. Had Sergio Perez struck that ball, done a, you know, as in Zambrook, he might well have been gone down into the Hall of Fame again.
Yeah, well, we'll talk about the first round of the results before we get on to some of the performances in the match breakdown. Do you think that the maybe inconsistency or the maybe the lack of real high-quality rugby across the board was a result of it being a post-World Cup tournament?
Well, usually after a World Cup, you get better quality, because remember what we're talking about here is teams that have been together for a large period of time during the World Cup. And as such, they've had the opportunity and the time playing together and understanding each other. Yes, there have been new players brought in, but, you know, and new coaches brought in, particularly with England and France. And France, probably more than England, have changed their style quite dramatically under Novais. So you'd expect them to be performing a little bit better than they were, particularly Ireland and Wales, who had a lot of players who've been on the scene for a long time. Ireland did have some injury problems, it has to be said, and they've rectified that by bringing back the likes of Sean O'Brien this week. But, you know, you still expected a little bit better than we saw. There were a lot of mistakes made, and maybe it's just the nerves of playing in what is the premier competition.
Quite possibly. Well, we'll start to look ahead to this weekend's game then, and we'll start with the first game of the weekend. It's over at the Stade de France, and it's the in the betting, it is by some distance the closest game, priced up with France at 5-6 and Ireland, their opponents, at even money. The draw there at 20-1. We should have maybe had a little look at the draw last weekend. France versus Ireland. I mean, I'll be honest, Jeff. Had it not been for the fact that Carlos Cagne, who had a very good game at fly half for Italy, but a reasonably poor game with the boot, not missed so many kicks, and you know, maybe if the Italian hero Sergio Parise had slotted that drop goal, or perhaps, you know, allocate it to someone maybe a little better qualified to take the kick, perhaps, but I think there is sometimes an argument that whilst he is quite possibly one of the greatest, if not the greatest player of a generation, that he maybe does do a little bit too much with that in that Italian side, and maybe he needs to have a little bit more trust in his teammates. But the point I wanted to make was, you know, they were just a whisk away from losing that game. Yes, they are on home turf now, and yes, there was a number of impressive performances for the French. I thought Plisson played well, and obviously we talked about the debut of Remy Vakatawa. But do you think the favouritism about France is justified, or even money on Ireland looks a little big?
Well, I think when you look at the French side, they have actually brought in some new players. I mean, they've brought Merzo in, and they've got they've got Scholli back at number eight rather than Picamole, who got injured. So Scholli's gone there, and you know, I mean, they've got a big pack. They've changed their forwards around. They've brought in the guys who are on the bench to start this game. So they're looking at the Irish team, and they feel that they can actually put a lot of pressure on the Irish pack and possibly do a bit of damage, which the Welsh failed to do last week. And if they do some damage, they're looking at what is a very experienced backline to go out there and do some and actually score some tries. I thought that Medard played exceptionally well last week from fullback. I thought that probably he was a standout player for the French. And bringing Thomas onto the wing, they've got a bit of experience there going in there. Their midfield, they've got Dante in there, they're showing they've got a certain, if you like, a certain rhythm going with them that is what Nové did at Toulouse. And how he got the Toulouse team playing. And, he brought a lot of Toulouse players into this side. And as such, they understand the game that he wants to play. It's going to be difficult for the Irish. I've got to say, I wasn't that impressed with the Irish. And I think that Schmidt has obviously registered that with bringing the backs of the likes of Dave Carney into the side and Rob Carney as well, back at fullback and leaving Zeebo out. Also, having Sean O'Brien back is a big plus for the Irish. But I just get the feeling that France will have the edge, and I think it would, it'll be close, it'll go to the wire, it's going to be pretty aggressive, but I would expect France to win by about 8 to 10 points.
8 to 10 points, wow. I mean, the handicap on them is just 1 point, so you can take the minus one at 10 to 11. I will quickly just run through those two team lineups. As you mentioned, plenty of changes for the French, six to be exact. Maxime Medard at fullback, Teddy Thomas, Maxime Mermo, Jonathan Dante, Virimi Vakatawa, Jules Plisson, and Sebastian Bezzi is the back line. Up front, they go with Jefferson Poirot, Guillaume Garrido, Yune Antonio, and Andre Flancart, Jan Mastri, Wenceslas Leray, Jochen Kabara, and Damian Shuley. And for the Irish, again, a few changes made for the Irish side, notably in the back three. Rob Carney starting at 15. Wingers Andrew Trimble and Dave Carney. Midfielder Robbie Henshaw, Jared Payne. Halfbacks Conor Murray and Jonathan Sexton. Up front, Jack McGrath, Rory Best, Nathan White in front of Devin Toner, Mike McCarthy. In a back row of Jamie Heaslip, Sean O'Brien, and CJ Stander, who I thought had a good game last week.
He did. He played very well. And I think adding Sean O'Brien into that mix does make them a bit more potent in the back row. But they'll need to be. I mean, at the end of the day, Sexton certainly didn't play that well last week. And he needs to up his game. He seems slightly off his game. And Henshaw, when he came on, really didn't play that well. So the Irish have got problems in that backline area, and they need to address that. I mean, Conor Murray plays well. He's always a good scrum half. He's always out there. But you just get the feeling there's just a little bit more about this French side than there was about the Welsh side last week. And the Welsh could have easier won that game last week. They certainly dominated the last quarter of it, with the Irish just failing to get down into the positions where they could score a try or a drop goal. So, I just think the French have got a little bit more of an edge about them. They are playing at home in the Stade de France. It's their last game at home for a while, so they're going to want to go out with a good game.
Just referring back to the Irish and the Welsh game last week, did you think there was any, perhaps a degree of safeness within how they play? Both sides, they gave nothing away, they play the percentages, and whilst the RBS Six Nations is a tournament, it's a league tournament, I kind of got the impression that maybe there was kind of more of a fear of losing than either side really wanting to win, if that makes sense.
It does make sense, Michael, and it's when you're playing that games, it is, because it's the bragging rights for an entire year that you're going to have on everyone else. And the Irish and the Welsh were both earmarked as potential Grand Slammers this year, given that, that Wales have been up there at the top for a number of years. So have Ireland. And if Ireland won the championship, it'd be the first time that three have been done on the bounce. So, in that sense, there's a lot to play for and a lot of pressure. But as I say, these players are fit as they've ever been. They've come through a World Cup. They've got it. All the countries were a bit disappointed with the World Cup, so it's a chance to prove what they could do. And quite frankly, I don't think they took it. I think that, when you looked at the games as an overall, yes, there was some, it was edge of the seat stuff, but it wasn't because it was thrilling. It was because of the number of mistakes that were being made. You weren't sure whether that was going to lead to a try, what was going to happen, what wasn't going to happen. And I think that's, you can say that about every game. And in that sense, I expect to see a different thing this week.
Okay then, so A recommendation for France, as I said, minus one in the betting, 10 to 11, just slightly bigger than the 5 to 6 on the money line. I mean, I guess if you're going to bat them, a 1 point difference, maybe no odds. However, obviously, if you'd have taken the 1 point handicap last weekend, your winning bet would have landed, if you're on the right side of that, with the draw between the Irish and the Welsh. You mentioned between 8 to 10 points as a margin of victory. You do have winning margin live. The French by 6 to 10 is an 11 to 2 shot, or by 1 to 12, 15 to 8, which doesn't look too bad. Jeff, as always, and for this tournament, we have an enhanced offer. It is the try again market, which means if your selected try scorer scores second, if you back him to score first, you will get your money back as a free bet. So, Could I tempt you into any potential try scorers for the game, France versus Ireland?
Well, let's go for the Val Katatawa, whatever his name is again.
Virimi Vakatawa. He had a fantastic...
That's the guy, Vakatawa. That's the guy. I mean, he what a superb try as well. I mean, to have the coolness to actually stop and then go again, to allow the defender to run in front of him. I mean, you know, that's pretty cool in your first cap. You're desperate to score the try, but you've still got the sense to be able to take that second break. And he did really well. I mean, he was very aggressive in his play, got around the field well, and came off his wing well. So he was one of the major threats. But as I say, I thought that Medard was very, very good. And, you know, if I'd put those two down as potential try scorers for France.
Virimi Vakatawa in the betting to score first at 9-1, any time at 2-1. Maxime Medard, 12-1 to score first, 7-2 any time. Moving on to game two then, and we are over to Wales, to the Millennium Stadium. Wales versus Scotland. Obviously, we've touched on Wales's performance last weekend. Scotland, obviously, against England, lost out in a hard-fought game. It was 9-15. Didn't score any tries. I thought the Scottish one was interesting in as far as... I know you didn't maybe think too much of Scotland coming into the game. I fancied them to maybe cause England a few more troubles, but I thought the main problem was I expected more from the Grey brothers at the line-out. I thought that Stuart Hogg and didn't really get a chance to carry the ball in open field, and I thought some of their bigger back row runners, the likes of David Denton, never really laid a glove. And, you know, credit to England, they scored one very good try and they did the business up there. How do you call this one? Do you think there's any chance at all for Scotland? Wales are 1-5 in the betting, Scotland 7-2, and the handicap is 11 points, Jeff.
Yeah, I think the bookies have got it about right. I just don't see Scotland doing it. I mean, the big problem, you know, you look at David Denton, he's a great player, comes off the back of the scrum, works very hard, but he's not in the quality of either Falatawa or, you know, Vinopola for England. So, although he's a good player, he's a step down. The Barkley brothers, John Barkley rather, is a good back row player. He'll be around the field well. But he's against Tipperick, who probably is the best open side in the Northern Hemisphere at the moment. So, you know, in that sense, the back row is weighted towards Wales. I thought that Rob Evans had a good game and Samson Lee did well for Wales in their game against Ireland. It was an area that the Irish thought they could attack and they never managed to do it. So, you know, from that point of view, you look at the Welsh and you say they've solided up their front row. You know, Geoffrey Jenkins was always a risk for them. He does have this habit of diving. Great in the loose, but not particularly good in the scrum. They've now got a solid front five. And with a solid front five, even though they're still playing Warren Ball at the backs, using Jamie Roberts as a crackball merchant with George North coming off his wing, and now doing the same with Tom James coming off of his wing, you just get the feeling that they'll be that little bit too strong for the Scottish midfield. And it will, you know, from that point of view, you can see that the Scots will be on the back foot.
So pretty keen on Wales. They're just running through the two teams. These have now been announced. Wales go with Liam Williams at fullback, George North and Tom James on the wing. Thought Tom James had a good game last week. Jonathan Davies and Jamie Roberts in midfield. Dan Bigger and Gareth Davies at halfbacks. Front row, Rob Evans, Scott Baldwin and Samson Lee. Second row, Alan Wynne-Jones and Luke Charteris. A back row of Sam Warburton, Justin Tipperick and Toby Faletau. And for the Scots, it's Hogg, Maitland, Bennett, Taylor, Seymour, Russell, Laidlaw. And then up front, Dickinson, Ford, Nell, Gray times two in the second row, Barkley, Hardy and Denton. I'll just another comment back to last week's. One of my favourite things about watching the Wales versus Ireland game was the battle between Robbie Henshaw and Jamie Roberts in midfield. I thought that that very direct, very speedy, very skillful wingers, that, you know, it was a real collision to watch when those two went head to head. But back to this week's game then. How much dominance do you think Wales can assert on the fixture in front of a home crowd?
I think they could actually beat the 11-point difference that we're talking about here.
So minus 11 points at 10-11, Jeff.
Yeah, I think they could beat that. You know, if they get it right, and there were a lot of things wrong last week in the Irish game, they'll be working hard on it. Scotland won't put the same sort of pressure on them that the Irish did. They need to play their game. Like, you know, Scotland, the problem for Scotland is they appeared to do well in the World Cup, and so the expectations on them is far higher than the reality of where they are. They've got two or three good class players, but they've got good players across the ball, but not great players. Whereas the Welsh have got a few great players. I mean, Jonathan Davis, I think him coming back into the side, he showed a dimension to the Welsh play that wasn't there when he was away. And I think that he, you know, him being with Jamie Roberts, the threat of Jamie Roberts and George North on that Warren ball moves with Jonathan Davis at the back, you know, coming through and running off of it, you actually get round to seeing Wales at their best. And I think in front of their home crowd, they'll want to prove a point, and this will be the game they'll do it. And I think they could make 15 points difference, to be honest.
Okay, well, I mean, that leads us nicely into another couple of markets. We've got the dozen winning margin live, so the 1-12 or the 13+. Wales by 13 or more points is there at even money. If you fancy that 15-point win, Jeff, then it's a 9-2 that they win by 11-15 points. So plenty of value to be had around from the handicap betting, but minus 11 on Wales at 10-11, the selection. Looking at the try scorers then, I mean, there was a couple of players I thought that impressed out wide. I mentioned Tom James being one. Who catches your eye to get over the whitewash?
Well, I think Jonathan Davis. Davis has got to be there or thereabouts. There's so much of a threat with Jamie Robertson and George North and even Tom James that the Scots defence, look at those and you forget the man who's got skill and vision inside them, which is Jonathan Davis. And I think, you know, bigger coming back for Wales side as well. Surprised he has, really. Reece Pleason did well when he came on, and he came on and played most of the game for the Welsh side. So Friesen can be a bit disappointed being left out, but I think that, you know, obviously Gatlin sees bigger as his true fly half, mainly because of his extra goal kicking skill. He's got the extra range, and you know, from that point of view, Jonathan Davis is the guy you're likely to see running from that inside area rather than bigger.
Jonathan Davis and a selection as a try scorer. Remember, Try Again Insurance. If your try scorer, your first try scorer scores second, money back as a free bet on all Six Nations matches. At the time of recording, we are just waiting for those prices to drop on the console, but they will be available any time in the next couple of hours. The final game of the weekend then, and it's our very own England, Eddie Jones's England, who arrive, you know, with Captain Dylan Hartley having, first of all, not got himself sent off, but secondly, with a Calcutta Cup to his name now. They head to the Stadio Olimpico on Sunday, Valentine's Day. Jeff, are you taking Mrs. Probyn over to Rome? Will that be the plan for the weekend?
No. The plan is to sit here and watch it on telly and enjoy a nice glass of vino by myself, rather than being in the tussle and boil that is Rome during these times. I mean, busy old place, Rome. Been there a lot of times, watched the early games when they first came in there. But I think, it's a shame, really, because there's a bit of me would love to be in that stadium, because the Stadio Olimpico will be buzzing. This Italian team really put in a performance last week, and England certainly cannot take them lightly.
Yeah, let's talk about that Italian performance. I know we referenced it a little bit when we talked about the France Island game, but I thought there were several players that kind of did themselves a bit of credit last weekend. First and foremost, I thought that Carlo Canna, whilst his kicking off the tee probably ultimately maybe cost him the game, I thought apart from that, I think they've really found one here. I think they've unearthed a bit of a gem.
They have indeed. You know, his ability to run with the ball and also his vision. I mean, he made a couple of really good incisive breaks. Yeah, good vision. He put his players, played his players around him well, brought his centres into the game. You know, the ball moved along the Italian line the way we expected it to move along the French line. So, yes, he is certainly a godsend for the Italians, and Jack Brunel will be overjoyed that he's at last got a back line that can compete on even terms with anyone in the Six Nations. I got to say that I do think that his goal kicking will obviously be better at home. It looked like it was a bad day for goal kickers all round in the Aviva Stadium in the Stade de France last week. Apart from Plisson's great 54-metre one to win the French the game, you looked at some of the kicking and it was a bit wayward. His certainly was canny, but I thought he played an outstanding game. And you look at it, and it's unfortunate for them; they've lost their fullback, but they've got this. Bernardo coming in, stepping into the spot for him. He's going to be there. He plays regularly in the top leagues in Italy, so he's a good player. They've got a good side. They've got good substitutes as well with Armani. I think he'll be on the bench again behind Canna. And, you can just see that this Italian side will, much as people won't believe it, Eddie Jones has turned around and said he wants England to give them a tonking. This Italian side will feel confident that they can actually surprise this England team, and they will try and do it.
Well, what do you think then, Jeff? The betting says that Italy are 6-1, England are 1-10, and the handicap would, maybe it's been set by Eddie Jones, because the handicap is 16 points, which, a win by 16 points or more, I think by any other name, is a tonking.
Yeah, I don't think England will win by 16 points or more. I think that England will win, but I think the maximum they can look forward to winning by is about 10 points.
So the handicap then, Italy plus 16 at 10-11, looks quite a good shout. You can look in the winning margin live, of course, a market where we do seem to eke plenty of value out of. England by 1-12 points, if you think it's going to be a tighter game, is there at 12-5, which looks reasonable. I mean, there's a couple of other markets that we didn't really touch on so much last week currently available. One that I find quite interesting is highest scoring half. It seemed that quite a lot of the games last weekend, maybe with the exception of the Ireland-Wales game, which didn't open up at all, but a lot of the other ones seemed to open up in the second 40. For the second half to be the highest scoring, Jeff, is 4-5. Does that make any appeal?
Well, it makes sense as well, because it's the second half when you start bringing on the substitutes and breaking up the patterns of play. If you look at it, in the England game, it was as a result of the substitutions that England got a dominance on the scrum, pushed the scrum backwards, and it was at that point that England scored their try. So it's once substitutes come on the field that the game breaks up, because you've suddenly got the guys have to learn the pace of the game. Even though you've trained together regularly, you've brought substitutes on during training, it's not quite the same as stepping into a game that's been played for 50 or 60 minutes. And you've got to get up to speed with the game. You've got to understand what tactics are being used in and around you. And that creates space for other players and opportunities. And normally, if you're playing against a team and they bring on their substitutes, you pick up your pace when the substitutes come on, just to make sure that you do take advantage of that brief spell of about 5 minutes in the game where they're not really up to speed.
Hey, I like that bet at 4-5. Let's talk try scorers then. We are still waiting on the England team to be announced, but unless there's some shocks, we'd be expecting to see last weekend's try scorer Jack Noll involved. Obviously, George Cruz would have been a bigger price to have scored first, never mind any time.
A magnificent price he would have been, but he did well. He worked very hard for that try, and what a good try as well. Tackled just short and stretched his arm out to reach over that line. Good on him.
Good
credit,
finish.
Credit where credit's due.
So who do you think might be threatening the try lines in the game on Sunday, Jeff?
Well, it could be an interesting thing, because there is talk of Mario Tosi getting on the field and getting his first cap. If he did, I wouldn't mind him as an outside bet as a potential try scorer. But from within the squad that we know that's going to be there, obviously you've got to say the likes of Noel or Watson. I said about him last week. I think Andre Watson could be on for a try this week. It's a sort of game that suits wingers, and for the Italian side, look at Bellini again. See him as a potential try scorer.
So Anthony Watson, Jack Noll, and Bellini put up as try scorers from Jeff. I'm going to add Billy Vunipola in there. You'll get a run with him for your money because he likes to carry the ball so often. And I thought he had quite a strong afternoon last week. I mean, he doesn't always play the full 80 minutes, but I think that Billy Vunipola could be worth a shout. Once the team is announced, we'll be getting the live prices on all the Tri-Scorer bets. Jeff, final question before we break off for this week. Have you had any change on who you think wins the tournament, or are you sticking with England?
No, I'm sticking with England. I think that England, you know, they weren't good last week. I expect them to be better this week. I expect them to have a game this week and play. Have to pull their socks up a little bit. But Eddie Jones has started some interesting things going on with the England side. You watch the way they're looking to play. Not over keen too much on the kicking game he's got, but the backs do move the ball well. This two-fly half choice with Owen Farrell and George Fulk playing beside each other does mean that England do have some wonderful attacking opportunities. I think that the way that the fixtures have panned out for them as well, with Italy coming second like this, Scotland and Italy, it's allowing them to build into this Six Nations, and it means that come the big games, they should be firing on all cylinders.
England at 5-4 to win the tournament, Wales 2-1 and Ireland 4-1, France 7-1, Scotland 25-1 and Italy 500-1. England's Jeff's pick at 5-4. Jeff, thank you very much for your time. Fingers crossed the selections are good this weekend, and I look forward to speaking to you next week.
Well, I look forward to it myself. I'm looking forward to the games. It's going to be great.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.